Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 257, When Your Healing Progresses Slowly, Part 1. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, May 1st, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So I want to start out with a scripture from the book of Joshua this morning. I'm going to speak to you about your healing. Sometimes people are disappointed and disillusioned because they've had some long-standing illnesses and doesn't seem like the answer is coming. And I hope this message will help you. It's maybe part one of several messages, but we'll see how we go with the time here this morning. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, "This is my command." Now, a command is not a suggestion. As those of you who know my brother has said many times, a command is not a suggestion. It's a command, right? So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That last part makes the first part possible. But of course, you have to obey the command. And the command is don't be afraid. The command is don't be discouraged. So I know that there are fearful things going on, going around us. Sometimes fear creeps in when we least expect it to, and it has to be dealt with. But the Bible says it should be dealt with courage, that we don't need to be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, it says in 2 Timothy, I think it is, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So He has the solution and He has the answer. And the solution and the answer is that He's with us wherever we go. But, many believers know this scripture and have maybe even memorized it. Maybe you've memorized this scripture. It's a great scripture. It's a good word to stand on. There's another part of it that talks about meditating in the Word of God day and night, just in verse 8. And that you will make your way prosperous and that you will have good success. So it's part of an overall instruction that God is giving to Joshua as he takes over the leadership of Israel. So although many people know this scripture and maybe have memorized it, many, many believers even find themselves in adverse circumstances where discouragement and despair come upon them. It doesn't need to be that way, but when it comes, you need to fight back. You can't just lay down and let it happen, because if you do, you're done. You're finished. You have to come back to the place where you know that God is with you and that He will encourage you, that He'll take a hold of your hand and say, don't be afraid. Isaiah 41 is a great chapter to read if you're ever attacked with fear. I think it's around verse 10 or so. Where he says, fear not, I am with you, etc. I will hold your right hand. I'll make your enemies as nothing, you know, and so forth and so on. So those there are places that we can go to in the Word to be encouraged and to also encourage others who are being attacked by worry and fear and anxiety and despair. So we want to address some of that this morning. Many people find themselves in those kind of circumstances. Maybe you're one of those people. I don't know, but I'm sure someone watching or somebody here, you know, is maybe experiencing some things that have been longstanding and you've stood and doesn't seem like anything is happening. And sometimes that can be a source of discouragement. So when it seems like your healing is progressing very slowly, or maybe not at all, to become discouraged and it's easy to become discouraged and just give up. But that's not a good place. That's a dark place. That's not a good place to go. The Word of God assures us that Jesus carried our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains to the cross. And because He carried them there, He did it with the purpose of lifting it off of us so that we don't have to carry it. But even though we have that assurance that in the atonement where He gave His life for us, all of our sins were wiped away. Our sicknesses were taken in His body. Even though we have that assurance, we have to somehow get that beyond the place of knowing it in our head and getting it down as revelation in our heart so that the manifestation of healing can arise from within and make the physical condition or the situation or the circumstance that we're facing bow its knee and back off and go away like it's supposed to go. So the question is, what can be done when prolonged illness robs us of our covenant healing? What can be done? Now, somebody asked me this morning, said, can I, Pastor, apply this message to some other area? I'm sure you can. If there's some longstanding issue, something you've been standing for that you haven't received, the principles are the same, whether it's for healing or whether it's for some other kind of thing that the Word of God has promised you. Surely the Word of God will not return void for you. It will accomplish what you please, what God pleases. It will prosper in your heart where He sends it, and it'll put you in a different place, praise the Lord. And while you're waiting for that manifestation, God will begin to encourage you and bring you out of a place of dismay, despair, and discouragement. Praise the Lord. You don't need to stay down. I mean, it's not a sin to have been taken down, but it's surely not right for you to stay down. Amen? When Jesus has provided for you what He's provided for you, it's time to get up. Amen? It's time to get going. It's time to, instead of focused on your issues and problems and situations, to be free for them, so you can focus on helping somebody else out of theirs. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, you know, we want to be the go church, not the sit church. Praise the Lord. We want to be we want to be the airport, not the hospital. Amen? I mean, you know, the sick need the physician, and we get all that, but, you know, let's take off. Let's go somewhere. Amen? Praise the Lord. So anyway, I want to deal with at least three things today. There's more possibly to this message, and maybe we'll add that on another occasion. But I want to cover at least three things that you can do that will help you come out of that place of despair and discouragement and come to a new place of victory in your life over whatever it is you're facing, whether it's sickness or some other issue, as we suggested before. So the first part of this message is give your faith a boost. Just give it a boost. So there's nothing wrong with your faith, but sometimes it needs a boost. So if you've prayed once or twice or maybe even many times, and it doesn't seem like your healing or your deliverance or your blessing is coming, it doesn't mean that your faith is dead. It probably just needs a boost, a jump start, something to jumpstart your faith and get it moving in the right direction again. So, you know, we all find ourselves in places like that, I think, from time to time. You know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, puts darkness in your life, and he puts problems and situations and circumstances, and it's easy to let those things, you know, just kind of say, well, I'm just done. I'm finished. But you can't give up like that. Jesus was not a quitter, and you can't be one either, because He's living in you. Amen? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. So you have to remind yourself of that, you know, when you're tempted to be down, when you're tempted to think, well, it's just not working for me. And maybe it's working for pastor, or maybe it's working for this leader or that great man of God or woman of God. It's just not working for me. But it will work for you, because the Word is for everybody, and the Word never changes. That's the great thing about the Word of God. When you go back to the Word of God, it's the same tomorrow as it was yesterday. And the same as it is today, His Word will always, always work for you if you allow it to work. So there's a story like this in the book of Mark. It's the 8th chapter. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here, starting with 22. It says that when they arrived at Bethsaida, this was Jesus and His disciples, His followers, the ones who were following Jesus, the ones who were being changed by Jesus, the ones who were on mission with Jesus. Those were the disciples. That's what a disciple is. They were following Him. So it says some people brought a blind man to Jesus. They begged Him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. I wonder why He did that. Probably because there was a lot of unbelief and stuff in the village, but I don't know for sure. It doesn't say. It says, then spitting on the man's eyes. What? Spitting on the man's eyes. Did I read that right? He laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? So I can just see it now. Fake news CNN is on the scene. Their truck has just pulled up. Jesus is spitting on this guy's eyes. And all they record is the words of the man that says, he looked around. He said, yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking. And then they cut and go to another story, right? They just leave it there. They leave it hanging there. The guy, you know, Jesus spit on this guy. He laid his hands on this guy. And, you know, Jesus is fake, so it didn't work. But that's not the end of the story. It says the man looked around. He said that. I see people. I can't see them clearly. They look like trees walking. That's not a very good condition. Verse 25 says, then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened, and his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Hallelujah. Okay, so this has probably happened to most of us here. If you're too young so that you've never been in a car that doesn't take care of its lights, you know, you leave your lights on and they go off automatically. But years ago, they didn't have cars like that, you know. And you leave your lights on. Guess what happens the next morning when you get in to start your car? Nothing. Maybe click, 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 if you're lucky. Probably everybody has experienced that at one time or another. At least you know somebody who's experienced that. But the issue is, you know, we say automatically, say my battery is dead. But really, your battery is not dead. Your battery just needs a jump, right? So somebody pulls up their car, you get under the other car, hook onto the other car battery. And all other things being equal, and the cables are good, you can get a jump start to your battery, and your car starts, right? And then you run your car for a while, or you drive it around, or you take it to some place where they put it on the charger, and your battery gets recharged. Your battery wasn't dead. It just needed a boost. It just needed a jump. So your faith is a lot like that. And when things are slow, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. It doesn't seem like your healing is coming or whatever. It doesn't mean your faith is dead. It probably needs a boost, though. It could use a jump start. Because when it gets a jump start, you know, then you can rev the engine a bit and get things going in the right direction and not in the wrong direction. Amen? So if your battery's dead, you do need a new one. You should go get a new one. Amen? So if your faith is dead, you better find a place, you know, where you can resurrect it, bring it back to life again. Amen. Some people, you know, they've gone that way. You know, they've gone back on their faith and so forth and so on. They don't need a recharge. They need a rebirth. Amen. So, but that's probably not the case for the majority of the people who are experienced just a delay in something from God. Praise the Lord. Their faith is fine. Just need to get the boost. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, with this story, there was nothing wrong with the guy's faith. You know, we don't have a lot of information about his faith, but we know that some people brought him to Jesus. You know, that's an indication that there were people of faith around him. So it might not have been entirely his faith, but it could have been also the faith of the people who brought him. So that's why it's important for us to be in a place where we can minister to other people. Because we can be the reason that their faith gets the jump start, amen? So that they can receive something from God. It's you know, the Bible says we should lift burdens off of our brothers, our sisters, those around us. We should be the ones that are the lifter-uppers, not the putter-downers, amen? But yet, the voice of discouragement often comes from the people that are around those who are experiencing some kind of a situation in their life. So that shouldn't be the case, but many times it is the case. So if people have come with discouraging words, you have to find somebody that's going to be an encourager. So if you can't find such a person like that, you need to join a cell group somewhere where at least one person in the cell group is up. Amen. If the whole cell group is down, just maybe skip that day. Skip that day and pray for them. Because surely one person in that group has to be up. Amen? Has to be the picker-upper. Praise the Lord. So that's one of the reasons for cells. It isn't the only reason, but it's just a good reason for being a part of a group. And if you can't find somebody to be the picker-upper, you be the picker-upper. Force yourself. Drive yourself a little bit. You know, kick yourself in the behind and say, get up and go. Amen. Praise the Lord. So even though your healing or whatever you're believing for has been slow, your breakthrough is coming. And you have to just get a hold of that with your heart. You have to get a hold, my breakthrough is coming. The man from the station is on the way. Amen. He's coming. Hallelujah. We'll have a laying on of hands for all the singles a little bit later. Everybody with an anointing for a marriage, say amen. Hallelujah. All right, so, man, how did we get off in the weeds there? Okay. So even though it might be slow, your breakthrough is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's on the way. So be sure to get your jump start and don't miss it. Amen. If you don't get your jump start, you might miss the man from the station, you know. So get it and run with it. So read the word. How do you do that? Read the word. I mean, get in the word. The word is full of encouragement. You know, don't start with Job. Yeah, I'm amazed. I mean, I'm amazed at some people. You know, we say, read the word, read the word, read the word, meditate on the word, and they start in Leviticus or Job or something, you know, like that. And I'm going, hey, there's a new covenant. At least start in the book of John or something, you know, where the good news is really a picker-upper. Amen. I don't mean ignore those other things in a word. Everything in the Bible is important. It has its place, and it has a place of instruction. But at least have the good sense that when you're down, when somebody's discouraged you or somebody's spoken some junk over you, that you go to a place that really picks you up and gets you going in the right direction. Amen? So read the word or listen to some testimonies. Testimonies of healing are great. They pick you up. They give you a hope, a new hope. They refresh your hope. And then go back to the word and reinforce it with, you know, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Or 1 Peter 2:24, with his stripes we were healed. And if you are, you were, you, then you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. So get to that place. Let the word pick you up and get that boost, get that jump start. Or reach out to another believer to receive a prayer of faith. You know, that's why we're here. That's why we're a body. Amen. That's why we're a church family. That's why we have cell groups. There's someone that you can reach out to get the boost, to get the jump start. Let their faith connect with your faith. Get the battery cables hooked up really well. Amen. Use some good cables. Make a good transition, good transfer. Let the juice flow. Amen. Glory to God. Let the sparks fly. Hallelujah. Just don't hook it up to the wrong terminal. Amen. Don't hook it up backwards. That doesn't work. Praise the Lord. Just connect. Amen. So the man in the story got another touch from Jesus. So can you? Why not? Why not you? Amen. Praise the Lord. So be encouraged. It's not over. The breakthrough is coming. It's on the way. Praise the Lord. Second point, uncover the real problem. Sometimes we mask the problems. Sometimes everybody around us can see it, but we can't see it. And we just mask it, just cover it over, just pretend everything's good. We're smiling on the outside, dying on the inside. won't go to somebody, won't pick up the phone, won't answer the phone, won't answer the text, just disappear, just sit in our loneliness, our depression. But then you need to really think about uncovering what the real problem is, because sometimes illnesses reflect those deep needs that are unresolved or untreated. So something can be spiritually wrong. Something could have happened in the past. We need to uncover and let Jesus bring healing in that place. Amen. Bring deliverance or bring blessing in that place. Amen. This doesn't make sense just to keep brooding over the same thing and letting it hatch, because the longer you brood over it, the bigger the chicken that comes out, you know? You cannot resolve things that way. So you just need to find a place of safety where you can be ministered to in that area. So negative emotions, they can be harmful and devastating. So all of us have a mind, hopefully we have a mind. All of us have a spirit, a soul, and a body. So things that are physical can be affected by things that come from our soul, our mind, our emotion, and our will. Or they can come from things that are some spiritual stuff that we've missed or messed up. They can affect, you know, what happens to us physically. I'm not accusing somebody of, you know, if something's been longstanding and it hasn't been resolved, I'm not accusing of, you know, you having a spiritual default or something like that. But sometimes those things that we don't realize are causing the problem are causing the problem. So we need to uncover the real problem before we can get and receive what God has provided for us, because the real problem is blocking us from receiving the blessing that God has for us. So there's a story in the Bible, again, another story, this one from Matthew, the 9th chapter. I am reading these from the NLT this morning, I think, New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, it says, Jesus climbed into a boat, and he went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought... Did you notice Jesus has a hometown? And some people don't realize that. They think he just wandered around, you know, and kind of slept wherever. You know, he said, foxes have holes, the birds have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his hand. That wasn't what he was talking about. He had a home. He had a place to go to, and he had a hometown. It was Capernaum. Maybe it was next to Peter's house. I don't know. It wasn't far away. If you go visit Israel, you should come visit Israel sometime. You should believe God to visit Israel, because it's really a really wonderful experience. Even if you only ever got there one time, it would be a wonderful blessing. If you can't get there in person, now at VOJI, Voice of Judah Israel, we have virtual tours that you can take. You can sit there with the, you know, the virtual glasses on, and you can be in Old City Jerusalem. It's amazing. It's just a really amazing experience. So it's not as good as being there in person, but it'll do until you get there, and it'll inspire your inspiration to get there. But if you go to Capernaum, you can go to Peter's house. They built a church over it, so it's a little, you know, you have to use your imagination a little bit. But on the church floor is glass, so you can look down into Peter's bedroom, his kitchen, his living room, and all of those things. It's pretty fascinating, actually, and it's not far from a really old synagogue that's been, some of the pillars are still up and so forth and so on, so you can get a feel for that. Jesus had a hometown. He came to this hometown. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." It's important for people to be encouraged, right? "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." Verse 3, some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Verse 4, religious people are a pain. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and so he asked them, why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? You know, you can be religious and be really evil. Jesus called them out. So is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then Jesus turns to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. So, you know, people weren't supposed to be carrying mats on Sabbath day and all of that stuff. So it upset these religious people. Verse 7 says, and the man jumped up and went home. He jumped up and went home. So there's not a lot of commentary in the scripture to tell us why this man was in that condition. But we do notice one thing about it. Jesus called out sin. And he told him he's forgiven. So that could have been, probably was, the one thing blocking him from receiving his healing. He uncovered the real problem in this guy's case. Might not be the case for every person who hasn't received a healing or hasn't received something that they've been praying for or believing for, but it could be. It's a possibility. It's one of many other things that could be uncovered that could cause or block the healing of the person. So again, this is not accusing somebody that didn't receive that they're sinners and aren't forgiven. It's just pointing out the reality of there are things that can block things. And if you keep them buried and don't have them dealt with, you're one more trip around the desert or the mountain, because until that's dealt with, you're not free to receive what God has given you, what he's provided for you. So it's really important to examine this possibility if you haven't received something from God that you've been believing for. There's no condemnation about it. It's just like it's being real, right? We need to be real with ourselves. If there's something going on that's negative in our emotions, or something that's going on from the past, or something that's going on where we're not obeying God, you know, then we need to be real with ourselves and get it to the surface, get it dealt with, so that we can receive what God has provided for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So again, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? So don't get condemned and say, Pastor said I'm a sinner and I'm not getting my healing because I'm sinning. I didn't say that. I said that was one of the possibilities. And if it is, you know, then, and there's conviction in your heart, then maybe you know what direction to go. And you can receive that forgiveness today. I mean, you can just walk out of here just free as a bird and healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, if that's what the deal is. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is not bad news. This is good news. It just says uncover the stuff that might be covering, might be preventing you from receiving. Deal with it and go forward and receive from God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Everybody say, I'm encouraged.
I'm encouraged.
I refuse to be discouraged.
I refuse to be discouraged.
So things like anger, resentment, bitterness, trauma from the past can also cause a variety of physical diseases. You know, we've ministered to quite a lot of people in our ministry, time of ministry since 1977 when we got saved. And we found this to be true in a lot of people that we've ministered to. You know, when you could get down to the root cause, uncover the problem, uncover the situation, you could minister into that area and that person was then open to receive what God had provided for them, and they got healed or delivered or got the blessing that they were believing for. Praise the Lord. So, in fact, just the other day, Pastor Karen and I were ministering to a young lady. And as we talked to her, she began to share with us some things that had gone on in her life and some things that were going on and were potentially causing, you know, reoccurring illness to attack her. And so we were able to minister to her and make some suggestions on how she could address that and how she could go forward from here. And she left the Zoom meeting encouraged and lifted up, and we prayed for her, and we're believing God for total resolution of this thing. It's needless to walk through things for long periods of time when Jesus has provided a way out. But if you can't get to the root of it, then you have to deal with it till you get to the root of it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it may take a little time, may take some effort, may take some help from some others to help you. But if you have an open heart and you allow people to speak into your life, people who are believers, people who have faith in God, people who are people of the Word. I mean, I'm not suggesting you just, you know, go to your workplace and, you know, your workmate that might not even be saved, you know, will give you some advice. Probably not the right advice. Probably take you 100 miles the wrong direction, you know. But I'm suggesting that there are people that you can trust. And if you don't have people that you can trust, you need to come to a place of finding people that you can trust. Amen. I know trust is an issue with some people because they've had, you know, experienced abuse and experienced some situations in their lives which didn't lend itself to building trust in others. But, you know, you can overcome that too just by having your heart open to God and letting the Holy Spirit minister to you. You can be free from fear of people. You can be free from fear of being misled by people. And you can find good friends. You can find people that love you and care about you and genuinely will minister to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you should come to that place where you can uncover the real problem and then deal with it. So negative emotions can sometimes hinder or block the ability of a person to receive God's power or his healing. Because we're not just physical beings. We are also emotional and spiritual beings. First of all, we're a spirit. We live in a body, and we have a soul. The soul is made up of your mind, your emotions, your will, your intellect, et cetera, et cetera. So if that's a hard kind of concept for you to grasp, for some people, this is like totally new. For me, when I came to know Jesus in a new way, other than the religious way I was brought up, it took me some study to figure that out, this spirit, soul, and body business. I was never taught that. Nobody ever talked to me about that. I found the answers in some ministry from Kenneth E. Hagin. I had one of his Bibles that I had bought, and he had sermons in the front of it, and one of them was about spirit, soul, and body. And I came to a place where I could understand, you know, the connection and how that could impact my life. Or back there in the bookstore, I think there's some books by Dr. Lester Sumrall, Spirit, Soul, and Body, that will help you to understand that, understand the connection. That'll give you maybe some revelation that will help you in how some of that works. Praise the Lord. So to receive your healing, you need to be open to you need to open up every area of your life to God. I think that's maybe the main part of this. Uncovering the real problem means opening your heart to God. It isn't so much opening your heart to a person, although many times it will take that in order for you to come to that place. And if you're humble and if you're willing to let somebody speak into your life, then you can come to that place maybe faster. All I can say is, you know, Jesus said, here's the water, come and drink. Nobody can make you do this. Nobody can make you want to do this. But if you are in a place that you're maybe even desperate enough to get rid of what's been hanging on to you, maybe that's a sign that you need to, you know, make a move in this direction. Praise the Lord. So if you know of something that might be blocking God's power, begin to tell God about it. At least start with him. Amen. If you think there's something in your life, something from your past, you know, sometimes things that have happened to us, we've just pressed it down and just, you know, we just don't go there. Because it's not a safe place, and it's not sometimes it's a dark place. But we can go to God with everything. Amen. we can find him as the father maybe that we never had. Amen. As a father that loves us, as a good father, a good, good father. You know, we sing the song, the good, good father and so forth and so on. But you can sing the song and just not make the connection. But you need to make the connection. That's all I'm saying. You need to make the connection at least to God, and then maybe allow another person to help you in that walk, because that's why we're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want you to receive. We want you to get your deliverance and your healing. So share it with a trusted Christian believer. And I was going to just say share it with another Christian, but wow, there's so much stuff out there. You have to realize that there's counterfeit and there's real. So look for the real, amen? Judge it by the word of God. Judge it by the fruit. Is there any fruit there? Not fruit cakes, fruit. Is there any fruit there in that person's life? I mean, don't go to the person who's more depressed than you and ask them to pray for your deliverance of depression. I mean, go to, find some happy person. Amen? Praise the Lord. You won't find a perfect person, but you can find a person that's a real believer. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe I've just beat that one to death. So this can happen. You want them to help you pray over the real source of your problem, basically. And you know, it could be somebody that has particular giftings in seeing things, but even if they don't, the Bible says these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Amen. They can cast out devils. They can lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Right. Sometimes they can even drink poison and not kill them. So you probably won't shock anybody, but you can get some help. You can get somebody to walk alongside of you, and it's important. This can happen at the altar ministry. It could happen in your cell group with your cell leader or someone in your cell. I mean, it can happen in a lot of ways. We try to make avenues for that to happen. So when you expect God to do what only he can do, your healing will spring forth speedily. The other person is not your healer. They're not your savior. They didn't die for your sins. But they can take you to the place where you can receive, where you can be blessed, and where whatever is hindering your walk, hindering your healing, hindering your blessing can be uncovered, dealt with in a positive way, a powerful way, a godly way, and it be lifted off of you. Praise the Lord. And then you're free to receive. Amen. Does that all make sense? All right. Number three, time is a fleeing. Number three is a really good point. Get mad at the devil. Don't get mad at the people around you or the messenger sent to send to give you a message. Get mad at the devil. So people blame all kinds of things on God. Earthquakes, floods, storms, all kinds of natural disasters are sometimes labeled as acts of God. They're not acts of God. God said he was, as long as the earth remains, there'll never be a flood like the one he sent as judgment to that group of people that were wicked. Even sickness is many times blamed on God. Many times people feel that they're being punished by him, punished for something they did, something they said, something from the past, that they just can't get around it. But the truth is that sickness doesn't come from God. It does not come from God. So how do you come with grips with that? Well, John chapter 10, verse 10 says, The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or to give them life and to give it to them abundantly, some translations say. So you see the two opposites, thief, steal, kill, destroy. And then you see Jesus, life, abundant life, satisfying life. So you see two opposites. Jesus said, I'm that person who came to bring life. So why would God pass out death, sickness, and disease, poverty, and lack when Jesus was sent to bring you life and bring it abundantly? It just doesn't make sense. If you don't believe that healing is from God, why do you go to the doctor? If you think it's God's will for you to be sick, why do you go to a doctor? It's kind of hypocritical, really, because if it's God's will for you to be sick and you go to the doctor, you're working against his will. Now, the doctor's not God, and he can't heal you, but he can maybe help you. So this is not about have faith in God and don't go to the doctor. This is about have faith in God, because Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the one who sets you free. Praise the Lord. So the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life. So God is the source of wellness, wholeness, deliverance, and blessing. So don't get it backwards. Jesus came to give abundant life, rich, satisfying life. He spent 2/3 of his ministry recorded in the Bible on healing the sick. That should tell you something, right? Many of the stories of healing comprise the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The book of Acts has a lot of healings and so forth in it as well. So, God doesn't work against himself by first creating the sickness and then sending Jesus to heal it. But you also need to realize who the devil is and what he does. You can prevent him from stealing your health and from stealing your healing. You can prevent him. You can prevent him. Sometimes you're waiting for God to prevent him, and he's waiting for you to prevent him. So let's get a hold of that a little bit. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. Jesus said that. He stated that in the Gospels. So the first thing you can do against him, against the devil, against his little minions that come to torment you, is you can refuse to believe them. Got it? Refuse. If the postman came to your door, knocked on the door and says, I have a special delivery package for you. Just sign here and it's yours. And you say to him, I didn't expect any kind of package. What's in the package? Oh, it's a box of snakes. Oh, really? I didn't order snakes. No, it's yours. It's got your name on it. See here, right here. It's yours. Just sign for it right here. Are you going to sit there and sign and just take the box of snakes into your house? So you don't have to accept everything that comes your way. Amen. You can refuse the lies of the devil. You can say, no, I'm not believing that junk. I am not believing that lie. The Bible says, the Word of God says, you know, when Jesus dealt with the devil in temptations, every time he came back with the Word of God, didn't he? Every single time he answered with the Word of God. You can do the same. So when the devil knocks on your door, let the Word answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can prevent him from stealing your health and from stealing your healing by not believing his lies. Jesus is really clear on this subject. Let me read it to you and then we'll head for the close. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. It says, one day Jesus cast out a demon from a man who couldn't speak. And when the demon was gone, the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed, but some of them said, no wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons. That's a pretty rash accusation. Others, trying to test Jesus, demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. Verse 17 says, he knew their thoughts, so he said, any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. You say that I'm empowered by Satan, but if Satan is divided and fighting against himself, how can his kingdom stand? And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so they will condemn you for what you have said. Verse 20, but if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him and strips him of his weapons and carries off all of his belongings. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So there you have it. Those are the words of Jesus. He said that you could be the strong man that overpowered Satan by refusing to accept his goods. You can overpower him through the faith in Jesus and faith in his name. You can overpower him by the blood of Jesus that was shed for you on the cross of Calvary. You can overpower him by the authority that God has given you as a believer in the Word of God. You have power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, just like it wouldn't hurt the early disciples. You have authority to use against Satan and all of his schemes and devices and plans and purposes. So you need to kick him out. The Bible says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you need to put him in your place, in his place. If he can get you to lose your joy, he can steal your goods. So get mad at him and put him in his place. When you're sick, you cannot be complacent, laid back, or passive, because that will kill you. James 4, 7 tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can submit to yourself to God and to his will to heal you, to make you well. You can reject the devil's desire to make you sick and take you out. Don't listen to the negative thoughts that God doesn't want to heal you. Get mad at the devil. Throw out those thoughts. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. There's a scripture that says, whose report will you believe? In other words, who are you listening to? Will you listen to God, or will you listen to the liar, the master deceiver? The Word of God assures us that Jesus carried our sicknesses, diseases, and pain to the cross when he sacrificed his life in atonement for our sins. He also took away our sicknesses. He took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Forgiveness and healing both came from the cross. It was one act of sacrifice, the Lamb of God atoning for the sins of the world, the sicknesses and diseases and poverty and all the other stuff that's attached to the fallen mankind, he took to the cross. So you can receive his grace for living, not dying. If you have a prolonged sickness or a series of recurring illnesses, fight back. And Jesus used the Word of God. You need to use the Word of God just like he used it. In the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 27th verse, it says, it's talking about the shaking that's going to come on in the end times. That's the times that we're living in. Verse 27 says, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken as things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So the devil can't stand up against God's consuming fire. And when you yield yourself to God and begin to resist the devil, God's power and blessing is released on your side, and he begins to shake the things out. Sometimes we feel the power of his shaking, and sometimes it doesn't feel good. But when he shakes the stuff out, the stuff that should remain remains, and the blessing of God comes into your life. So just let him work on you. Let him be the great physician for you. Let him bless you with the healing that he went to the cross to purchase for you. Allow him to work in your life, whether it's through other people, through his word, by the Holy Spirit. Just allow him to minister into your life in a new and fresh way today. Today we'll be taking communion in just a few minutes. We'll be receiving the body and the blood of the Lord that Jesus went to the cross to purchase. It's a reminder. It's a memorial to what he did at the cross to take all those things and lift them off us. We should walk out of this place today just healed, just rejoicing, just full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, because this is a celebration of what Jesus did. He didn't stay on the cross. He went to the grave. He went down to hell. He defeated Satan, stripped him of his power, took the keys of hell and death, came out of that grave in victory. And he's triumphing over the devil in all of it. And now he sits at the right hand of God in a place of authority, and you're seated there with him. Praise the Lord. So if you're seated there with him, you ought to be rejoicing. Whether you're feeling good or not feeling good, you ought to be rejoicing, because you're seated with Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's a safe place. It's a great place. It's a place of victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't let the devil have his way in your life. Give your faith a boost. Uncover the real problem. And get mad at the devil. Just madder than H-E-double-L at him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's stand to our feet for a moment here. Thank you, Jesus. Father, when faith seems weak and disillusionment and depression and other things try to attach itself to them, we remember that Jesus is our victory. So today, Lord, we just take Jesus as our victory. And we thank you, Father God, for your word, your love, and your power ministering through him. Thank you, Father, for the healings that are already released and taking place. Those viewing online, Father, and those here in the house, thank you for manifesting your healing and your blessing and your promises, the promises of your word to these people. Thank you, Jesus, that you will never let us down. You'll never leave us, never forsake us, so that we can boldly say, I'll not be afraid of what man shall say or do, because the Lord is my helper. Thank you, Jesus, my healer, our deliverer, our savior, our Lord, our King, our soon returning King. We thank you. We're grateful. Thank you for showing up in this place in a powerful way. Thank you for manifesting healings all over this place and through the airwaves. Thank you, Jesus, that legs, feet, hearts, hands, heads, lives are being healed, restored by the mighty power of the blood of Jesus and by the authority of Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for manifesting yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect to you, made perfect by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, whose death and resurrection we celebrate today as we commemorate his death by having communion as he commanded. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for such a great blessing. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.